The scripture for today. Got a New Testament and an Old. Going to read the New Testament first today. Luke 22, beginning with verse 14. Very familiar words to you. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at a table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins, for I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. Then he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. He broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. He refers to it as the new covenant. You know what the word covenant means? It's a word which can have several meanings, but maybe one of the best synonyms for covenant is promise. It's also a synonym of the word testament. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. You can just as easily say that's the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and or it's the Old Promise and the New Promise. And in the book of Jeremiah, he's a prophet of the Lord, of course. Jeremiah the prophet lived about 600 years before Christ was born. In one of his prophecies, he says this in chapter 31, beginning with verse 31. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. A new covenant, a new testament, a new promise. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I love them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. That old covenant, of course, was the covenant of law given to Moses on Mount Sinai, chiefly in the Ten Commandments. That was the covenant. But Jeremiah goes on and says, this is the new covenant that I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. There's a sermon there I'm going to preach in the future. Too deep to go into that meaning of that right now. But the last sentence is the one that I want to hone in on for today. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would enable me by your grace to speak words that are true and that they will set many of us free. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What was that awkward sermon title this morning? It's so awkward, I can't even remember it. Somebody asked me a while ago what I was preaching on. I couldn't remember. That was, what is it? Overcoming the tough forgive. Isn't that awkward? You can laugh. It's supposed to be. Overcoming the tough forgive. Speaking of awkward, Reader's Digest that I stole from City Hospital the other day. This is from that Life in These United States. You ever read those in Reader's Digest? It's under the phrase awkward. Just tried a coat on at TJ Maxx. It was the coat of a customer trying on another coat. You ever been in that kind of a situation? That is awkward. After flunking a job interview, I got up, shook everyone's hand, and walked into the coat closet. Just bumped into a mannequin and said, sorry. Then said, oh, I thought you were a person, then realized I was still talking to a mannequin. You ever done that before? I was once thanked by a grieving family member for coming to a funeral, and I responded, "No, thank you." Oh, my. I guess you could say what I'm talking about is awkward, but it's really more than awkward. We have been talking about the theme of forgiveness for 4 or 5 weeks now, off and on. And we talked a couple weeks ago, last time I was here, just exactly how to pull off forgiving another person. In fact, I know we ran out of these that Sunday, and so I brought a few more today. This is the handout that I gave about the 3 steps necessary to forgive another person. And if you weren't here, or you'd like this, or you threw it away and you need it, I got about 16 or 18 of these up here. Be glad to hand them out. We've been talking about forgiving other people, and we've noted that it's very difficult, but it is possible. But the more difficult forgive is the one I want to talk about today, and that's forgiving ourselves. Very difficult to forgive ourselves. And I'm sure that sitting right here in this room, there are people who can't forgive themselves for one of 2 things. The first one might be the way that we've hurt someone else in the past. The way we've hurt someone else in the past. And the other way is the way we've hurt ourselves in the past, by making poor decisions and choices about how to live life that is not in keeping with what God's will is for our lives. And we make mistakes and we do stupid things. We make errors. It's nice to be able to say that we were doing the best we could with what we had at the time. And I sometimes like to think that about myself when I look back at some of the dumb things that I've done. I don't know if that's biblical or not. But I am here to say that there are many of us probably in this room who've got something that we've done either to someone else, or for some reason today I'm feeling led more to think about things that we do to ourselves, that we need to forgive, and we haven't forgiven. We can't forgive ourselves. That's why I said it's the hard forgive. Very difficult to forgive ourselves. And to make matters worse, you see, sometimes we think that we need to beat ourselves up as a way of making what we did that was wrong right. And we just, some people fall into that trap of thinking, I know how I can make this better, or I know how I can smooth this over. I just need to beat myself up. I need to feel guilty. And we feel like that we are paying penance. And what I want to say to you today is that God does not want us to live that way. He loves us too much. The first 3 fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, and peace. And sometimes we think that that's always directed towards others, but it also needs to be directed to ourselves. We need to love ourselves so that we might have joy and peace in our lives. Paul, in summing up Romans toward the end of the book, says he's kind of put it all together in Romans. Read the whole letter, but he's kind of trying to put some summation on it about Christian living, and he says, Christian living is all about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And when you have guilt, and especially when you hang on to it as a way of paying some price that we think we owe because we did something so bad, you're excluding yourself from joy and peace and love. God doesn't want us to live that way. Paying penance is not going to make anything that was wrong right. Carrying about a tremendous load of guilt is never going to do us any good. It's going to cause us pain, emotional pain. I have an illustration. How many of you heard of phantom limb? Phantom limb. I Googled it this morning here. I'll just give you the definition right here. Is the sensation that an amputated or missing limb is still attached. Approximately 80% of individuals with an amputation experience phantom sensations in their amputated limb. You know, hands. People could, if they close their eyes, they could still feel their hand gripping. Or some people that have a leg removed will close their eyes and they can think like that leg's still there and I can stand up and walk on it, but it's gone. And the majority of the sensations, it says, are painful. The majority of the sensations are painful. I looked that up because I read a story the other day about Dr. Barwick. Dr. Barwick was the head of a medical school and had a circulation problem in his leg, and it caused severe pain in his leg. And all of his doctors that were going to the school and all the doctors that he knew that graduated from that school were telling him, because they loved him so much, you need to have that leg taken off. And Dr. Barwick was like you or I, you don't want to have a limb amputated like that. And so he waited and said, no, no, no. And he just let that pain go on. He began to hate the pain in his leg. And finally it became so bad, he went to one of his doctor friends that graduated from his school and says, I'm ready, take this thing off. And the surgery was scheduled. But he made an unusual request, this Dr. Barwick. He asked if they could save the leg and put it in a jar. A pickle jar, the story said. So he wanted to set it on his mantle and sit in his overstuffed chair and be able to say to that leg, you're not going to, you know, he wanted to taunt the leg and say, you can't hurt me anymore. Well, they granted his wish, but the leg had the last laugh because he experienced phantom limb pain like no other. The pain continued, the muscles in this leg cramped, and he just had terrible pain. And the end of the story said the reason that he did was because he hated that leg so much in his life that he embedded that memory into his brain. It was all-consuming, and now that the leg was gone, the pain was still there just as much as it was before. And I guess I tell you that story because I'm trying to say the same thing can happen to us if we're not careful. We do something in our past that's not right, and we keep going over it and over it. We can't forgive ourselves. We feel guilty, and we are embedding that thing in our mind. And if we don't take care of it, it will cripple us. It can cripple our relationship with the Lord. It can cripple our relationship with other people if we don't learn to forgive ourselves. Dr. David C. Manns wrote the book Healing for Damaged Emotions, and he's talking about a young pastor that he met who came to see him who was having a lot of problems getting along in his own family and with his congregation. And he writes, I had already talked privately with this young pastor's wife. She was a fine person, attractive, warm, affectionate, loving, and totally supported him in his ministry. But he was continually criticizing her, scapegoating her. Everything she did was wrong. He was sarcastic and demanding and withdrew from her advances, rejecting her love and affection. Slowly but surely it began to dawn on him that he was destroying their marriage. Then he realized that in his weekend pastorate he was hurting people through sermons which were excessively harsh and judgmental. Finally, in his desperation, he came to see me. At the beginning of our interview, he met trouble like a real man. He blamed it on his wife. But after a while, when he became honest, the painful root of the matter came to light. While he was in the armed forces in Korea, he had spent 2 weeks of R&R in Japan, and during that leave, walking the streets of Tokyo, feeling empty, lonely, and terribly homesick, he fell into temptation and went 3 or 4 times to a prostitute. And he had never forgiven himself. He had sought God's forgiveness, and with his head he believed he had it. But the guilt still plagued him, and he hated himself. Every time he looked in the mirror, he couldn't stand what he was seeing. He had never shared this with anyone, and the burden was becoming intolerable. When he returned home to marry his fiancée, who had faithfully waited for him, his emotional conflicts increased because he still could not accept complete forgiveness. He couldn't forgive himself for what he had done to himself, and to her, so he couldn't accept her freely offered affection and love. He felt he had no right to be happy. He felt justified in flogging himself. As A.W. Tozer put it, the young minister was living in perpetual penance of regret. And then Dr. Siemens writes at the end of this story, how beautiful it was to see him receive full, free forgiveness from God, and then from his wife, and perhaps best of all, from himself. I'm saying to any who are here today that if you can't get over some sin in your past and you've been feeling guilty about it and you cannot forgive yourself, that there comes a time when you need to forgive yourself. And today might be that day. Because the truth of the matter is, every one of us is worthy of God's love. We are worthy of joy. We are worthy of happiness. God wants us to be that way. And so today might be the day where you need to begin to work on forgiving yourself. How do you do this? On the back of your prayer concern list, I made a handout again today because I wanted to give you something to take home. You have a pen? You have a pencil? Do you need a pen or a pencil? How do you forgive yourself? First, you need to recognize the problem. Fill in the blank word is recognize. You need to recognize the problem. You need to say to yourself, I've not forgiven myself. And therefore, I'm in bondage. Somebody need a pen here? Okay. So the first step is to recognize the problem. It may be that there's some of us in this room who just learned to live with this for so long, we don't even see it as a problem anymore. We see it as a natural part of life, a consequence of a decision that we made long ago. And we just don't even think about it sometimes, although we're in guilt all the time. So we need to say before the Lord, Lord, I have a problem. I haven't forgiven myself, and I'm in bondage because of it. That's the first step, recognizing the problem. Recognizing the problem. Second, we need to be honest with ourselves. The fill-in-the-blank word is honest. We need to be honest with ourselves. What do I mean by that? We need to own our wrongdoing so that we can forgive it. Remember the last time we talked about forgiving others, we said that before we could forgive another person, we have to blame that other person. That was a very important step, blaming the other person who wronged us. Well, the same goes here. We need to blame ourselves. We need to own up to whatever it was. We need to be honest with ourselves. And I think I kind of got this backwards a little bit. I was going over it this morning, and I thought, that doesn't make sense. If you want to put number one, the first one is recognize a problem. Number two is be honest with yourself. Number three is down there below where it says right in the middle of the page, your wrongs. And the word there is right, and not R-I-G-H-T, but W-R-I-T-E. Write down the thing that you did that you need to be forgiven of. I would write it down. I wouldn't word process it. I think it helps to actually write it out using a pen or a pencil. Write down, write your wrongs, W-R-I-T-E. So we're going to recognize we have a problem. We're going to be honest with ourselves about what that problem is, and we're going to write it down. Now let me stop for a second because something just occurred to me as I looked at Chuck. Not to put the spotlight on Chuck. Some of us may be plagued not with something we did 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, but something we did yesterday. In fact, something that we can't stop doing that we know is wrong. And if you're in that kind of a situation, in other words, if you're addicted, and I don't use the word addiction lightly, I'd like to let you know what Gerald May, one of the most premier psychologists and psychoanalysts and brain, anything to do with the brain, this guy's the world's expert. and says it is the human nature to be addicted to something. It's just a matter of what it is. And he has written a whole book called Addiction and Grace that I highly recommend to anybody who might need to read up on this. We're all addicted to something, just a matter of what it is. But what I want to say is, if there's something in your life that you're doing that's wrong and you can't seem to stop, then perhaps that's why I was thinking about Chuck, because he's here on Friday nights to help people just like us who have something that we can't stop. That's what recovery is all about. Recovery is not just from someone that happens to be an alcoholic. Recovery is for everybody because we're all addicted to something. And those Christian steps that Chuck is teaching on Friday nights here are, well, they're Christian. They would help anybody lead a more fruitful Christian life because they just kind of, you know, part of it's taking a moral inventory. It's being honest with yourself. It's taking an honest look at your life and seeing where you need to do better and how you can do better. So I'm just stepping out here to do a little commercial tonight. Beyond those things that some of us have that happened 2 years ago, 5, 10, 20 years ago, some of us are caught up in something that we feel guilty about all the time because we can't break free of it. Just know that on Friday nights here at 7 o'clock, there's help. And we appreciate you so much, Chuck, for what you're doing there. So we've written down our wrongs. Now the next step is to accept the forgiveness that Christ provides. The fill-in-the-blank word there, it'd be number 4 then, is accept the forgiveness that Christ provides. This amazing verse in the Old Testament about a new covenant that's going to come in which He will remember our sins no more. And Jesus sat at the table, and when He said, this is the cup of the new covenant, He said, what Jeremiah said 600 years before, guys, is coming true right now. Accept the forgiveness of your sin provided through Christ. I know there's some of you sitting out there thinking right now, you're thinking this, Randy, you don't know what I did. And there's some of us who think that we have committed a sin that's unforgivable, that it's unpardonable, that it's too big for the Lord to forgive. You just need to remember that with the Lord, all sin is the same. The Lord does not classify sin. He doesn't say, okay, here's the little sins over here, and I'll forgive those. And here's the medium-sized sins here, and here's the biggies. If you're over here in this category, too bad. No forgiveness. That's sometimes what we think, that there's little sins and medium sins and big sins. With God, all sin is the same. And so when we're forgiven of all of our sins. Sometimes we just need to accept that. It's hard to believe that, but that's what the Bible says. It's true. We need to reaffirm our trust in the Scriptures then is the next step. If we're having a hard time accepting, we just need to trust the Scriptures. I give 4 of them to you there. Psalm 103, He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you hear that one? That's a goodie. That's a goodie, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for who? For those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a good one. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. He doesn't want us to be in bondage, bound up in guilt. He set us free. It's for freedom. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. We could go on and on. Just reaffirm your trust in the Scriptures. What else do we got to trust in? It's the Word of the Lord. And lastly, pray. And I wrote down there a prayer that you could pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess there is nothing to gain by holding myself in unforgiveness. And there's everything to gain by forgiving myself and beginning the process of healing. So, Lord Jesus, on the basis of your word, by an act of faith, I here and now forgive myself because you have already forgiven me. I accept my forgiveness and choose to be free from all that I have held against myself. Thank you for loving me, for your grace to move forward with you. In Jesus' name, amen. And lastly, as an act of faith, that list you made, that list you made out, destroy it in some way. Give it a flush, burn it up, destroy the list, just as a symbolic act of your sins being washed away. Destroy the list you made. This is a process. Just like we talked about a few weeks ago in forgiving others. Doesn't happen like that. But if you will give this your time, your prayers and your thoughts and your energy, over time, God will pull off the miracle of forgiveness in your life, forgiving you. So recognize the problem, be honest with God about it, write it down, accept the forgiveness from God through Christ. Reaffirm your trust in the Scriptures, and as an act of faith, destroy the list you made. And then listen to the Lord sing to you. Then listen to the Lord sing to you. My peace I give unto you. It's a peace that the world cannot give. And that second verse, listen to the Lord sing to you. My love I give unto you. It's a love that the world cannot know. Peace and love from the Lord Jesus. That's what He wants for us. That's what He wants to give us. Forgive yourself. You are worthy to be forgiven, not only by God, but to forgive yourself. With the Lord on our side, we can not only forgive others, but we can forgive ourselves. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for the Bible and the many, many, many scriptures that says that we can be set free from our past, that we can start life over anew, that we can leave a past behind. And I pray for all those in this room who have been struggling with guilt as a result of wrongdoing in the past, or perhaps this last week. Help us, our Heavenly Father, to see that You want us to live in freedom and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. And help us to forgive ourselves. It may not happen overnight. Help us to make it a daily regimen so that with the passing of time, we can move confidently in the future, secure in the knowledge that all of our sins have been put away, and we will be enabled by Your grace to forgive ourselves. We thank You for this gift. In Jesus' name, amen.